Welcome to the Marshall Pruitt Podcast, our Day at Le Mans series. Graham Goodwin, we're at Thursday. There's only one more to go on Friday. Thanks to our friends at Cooper Tires, we can talk about what's going on. We're in the middle of the, call it the final serious practice session, heading into what we call proper qualifying, final proper qualifying tonight. We're at a red flag right now, though. Tell us about what happened.
Yeah, it's been a bit of a disjointed session, MP. Good evening, everybody, by the way. At the moment, under a red flag for Giorgio Sonagiotto in the number 47 Satellite Velour Bacorsa de Lara. Looks to have had quite a big shunt at the braking zone for the first chicane, impacted the barrier driver's right. Car has ended up in the runoff, the actual where the public road runs, the avoiding lane, if you like, there. The car will be out of this session. Fairly extensive damage to that car. And it's been a little bit like that all the way through, I'm afraid. We had runoff at the four chicane for the 36 Synatec Alpine, Nicolas Lapierre, broken suspension over the second element of the chicane. That spun him around. He's deposited the contents of a Japanese garden onto the start-finish straight. That took caution. Double wave yellows for marshals to go on with leaf blowers to get rid of the gravel. We've had Andy Prio damage the rear end of his number 67 Chip Ganassi UK Ford. That car is now back out and running. And more besides, not a huge amount of improvements in significant times, I'm afraid. It rather thwarted the efforts of, for instance, the Ford guys to close the gap on the Porsches. The only major change is we actually saw overnight a change in the LMP1 running order because the number 5 Ginetta lost its times for speeding in pit lane. Both of those cars then were down in the 330s. Both have improved fairly dramatically. In fact, Alex Brundle just recently putting in a 324 to go ninth quickest ahead of the P2 field. Charlie Robertson is now out in the car that Mike Simpson, the number 5 car, into 12th position, 325. So much better times for the Ginettas. They are the main improvers, but still some little way off at the moment. The mark, which is a 317.2. As for whether and when we'll see the serious qualifying times or attempts at it, well, I think the happy hour, if it's coming, I think you're quite right, MP, looks like it's going to be pretty soon after we get back to running for the night time session. So at the moment, we have 28 minutes to run on this session. Then we have a 1 hour gap, and then we go back to qualifying. It's an unusual setup at Le Mans. One free practice session yesterday, then qualifying yesterday evening, which is where most of these times have been set. This is a live qualifying session, and we have a final 2 hours leading up to midnight local time. Friday is the day we laughingly call a day off, but that's where most of the serious press conferences happen, including the one we're waiting for, which is the one that should give us more indication of some of the shape of the proposals for the future of the Premier class here at Le Mans and in the FIWC, and who knows where else. We'll find that out too.
Yeah, and I should say I was being a silly monkey there. I tend to think of Thursday's first qualifying session as a bit of a practice session. It is technically and actually a qualifying session itself, but at least for what I tend to think of, if we're going to see fastest times set during Thursday, at least for what my brain seems to recall, they've often come in the true nighttime session in the dark. So anyways, my error there. So Graham, with what we are seeing right now, knowing that there is obviously time ticking away, just, you know, physical time ticking away, obviously we're in a red, so the session itself has been halted, and waiting to resume that. Any thoughts as to whether the ACO and FIA might extend the session so that folks get the true 2 hours of running, or if they would say all over on the hour and sorry you missed out on that track time?
I think they're going to get this session running back to green as long as there's no barrier damage And as long as the wreckage, because there's a big debris field from that Dallara, can be cleared, 26 minutes to run now on the clock, and then I think it'll just be the 2 hours to finish for the evening, MP. It's been a busy day on track. Both of the support races have had both three practice sessions and qualifying. We've had some thrills and lots of spills with the LMP3 and GT3 cars in the Road to Le Mans. We've had an extraordinary grid of Aston Martins, including a massive surprise world debut for the new Aston Martin Vantage GT3 this morning in free practice for the Aston Martin Festival, putting in a time, by the way, the new GT3, albeit without BOP and restrictions being applied, quicker than either of its GT3 cousins.
Wow. Yeah. That is impressive. Looking at the times so far, again, Graham, you mentioned that we've had a little bit of movement, but for the most part, I'm not seeing anything that stands out, at least.
No, nothing
me.
In the top of the classes. Nothing at the top of it.
Margins, for example, the big gap that Porsche has drawn out in GTE Pro and AM, haven't seen anything there get drawn down yet in this first of two qualifying sessions tonight. Tell me a little bit about conversations you might have had this morning, this afternoon, in the run-up to qualifying, and what might have piqued your interest there.
Before I do that, I can tell you that we are going to do exactly what you presume, by the way, which is qualifying three will now start at 21:30. They are calling this, so there will be a 2.5-hour session. You are absolutely spot on. So this session will not be resumed. I've had a conversation, my biggest conversation today has been with one David Brabham and the very pretty Brabham BT62, which is here at Le Mans on the Michelin Pavilion, with David Brabham, very proud of his and his partner's new creation. That car set to be a pricey hypercar for the track, but also they have ambitions and hopes that there'll be some way of getting a car, if it's not that one, that remarkably like it, into that top class at Le Mans in the very near future. So they're waiting with bated breath with what we might hear on Friday. Beyond that, for Daily Sports Car, Stephen Kilby has been in having a great chat with Doug Feehan on lots and lots of areas there, including any potential prospects that the next cycle of Corvette racing programs might not be in the GT field. They'll take a look at what we see from the prototype, from the prototype regulations for 2020 and 2024 to make those decisions. Was being very, very coy about what and when might be the next product for Corvette Racing, making it clear that they believe they will not be allowed to campaign any new car should be one be forthcoming before the end of the WC Super Season. So in other words, C7R is what we will get for the Le Mans 24 Hours in 2019, which, by the way, will be their 20th anniversary at this great race. Also, looking at the prospects for potential Corvette Racing entries in both the WC and IMSA races at Sebring in 2019.
And having read Stephen's interview with Doug, and wonderful job by him, interesting to see the delineation, I think, being made by Doug. Doug's a very canny operator. Sometimes it's the things that he does not say where actually you can find the most intrigue. It would appear, having, again, just read, having compared to standing next to Stephen while the interview took place, it would appear that Doug was speaking on the topic of Le Mans racing in France and WEC-mindedness in regards to when the C7R's successor, the C8R, would come online. And again, I don't know if this is accurate or not. This is just my interpretation. But Doug seemed to say specifically, with this WC Super Season in motion through next year's 24 Hours of Le Mans, he did not foresee homologation of a new model being an option.
For 2019, correct. That's exactly what he said.
And again, I think if we're thinking Le Mans and WEC, interesting. In theory, I can't see how the FIAWEC's super season would impact any decision they might make to homologate and run a brand new model in IMSA, which is completely separate.
I tend to agree. He was being particularly coy about whether and what. I mean, I think, you know, it has been widely trailed that the new C8 looks very much like it might well be a mid-engine car. That was a strong kind of strand of the conversation, but Doug being very guarded about any kind of confirmation whatsoever about anything even remotely close to that. So we watched some... what's this? We've got two of the Corvette guys playing with an office chair on pit lane. There you go. One of them pushing the other down pit lane. There you go. Well, that's one way to get a bit of extra mileage in. But yeah, some good stuff going on there. Meanwhile, my daily sports car colleague here from Australia, in fact, via Belgium, where he's currently living, Australian living in Belgium, talking to Mark Rushbrook about their options. And again, another major factory concern, a major OEM keeping a weather eye on what will happen on Friday. These really are extremely important set of regulations. I think the way in which that's going to be defined, MP, is going to be extremely significant in terms of the kinds of choices that are going to be made by some of these factories. And, you know, to put a little bit of meat on the bones, we've talked so far about these regulations, about how they compare to the current LMP1 hybrid numbers. We maybe want to start thinking now about talking about those numbers compared to some of the GTE numbers that they're making decisions about, as well as whether or not DPI remains an option moving forward. So I genuinely do think we've got a significant number of manufacturers who are ready, willing to look at the numbers that emerge in terms of potential programs, whether or not it be global, North American, WEC, based on the blue ribbon events in GTE, in whatever replaces LMP1, DPI, you name it, there's a lot of choice coming forward.
Another thing that I know that, well, I think every endurance racing fan is waiting to find out the true answer of some of what's been trailed due tomorrow in the release of our future next set of prototype regulations and whatnot. I know that there's been quite a few folks who've taken the, aha, it's going to be hypercar-looking prototypes and run with that. I've heard some opposite opinion from some manufacturers, not saying they're right, not saying those who've run with the it's going to look like hypercars folks who've written that are wrong, just saying that I'll be curious to see what is indeed revealed, because I'm not sure that we have a... Well, I know we don't have a full picture today because they haven't released the information yet, but again, I think it'll be interesting just to see the true direction things are heading and whether the suggestions of the hypercar styling is more in the existing DPI format and mindset than some radical alteration of that and truly going the way of looking like Pagani Zondas and Bugatti Chirons and otherwise. So anyways, interesting times ahead to see what indeed will be laid out as the new format.
I think what becomes clear to me from off the record conversations, the detail of them off the record, has there been some direct referencing of DPI? Not a lot, actually, not a lot at all. But I think it's certainly fair to say that we would expect that if they are going to go down that road, I think we're going to see something that's a middle way. Are we going to see an Aston Martin Valkyrie? No, we're not. Are we going to see something that looks directly like a DPI? No, we're not. I think we might see something a little bit in between that, you know, has more than a nod towards specific model as well as make styling, but certainly not what was, for me, there's not a lot about the DPI concept that disappoints, but its likeness to the brands certainly does. I think that part of DPI has been pretty underwhelming. The rest of it, I think it's been a great concept. It clearly works for IMSA. There's clearly interest in it from manufacturers, from importers, from some motorsport arms of, you know, wider OEMs and from the teams. So you know, let's wait and see what emerges there for 2019 and beyond. But here, under red flag, clock is still ticking down, but the session will not be resumed. And we have 45 minutes until the final qualifying session, when we will either have confirmed that last night's times will stand, or we'll get some fun and games in the last 2.5 hours of track action before the 2018, the 86th running of the 24 Hours of Le Mans here at the Circuit de la Sarthe.
Yeah, and the only thing I'll add to that, Graham, before we look to wind down here, and I hope that as shortly after we hang up, that I will be getting a call in from Corvette Racing's Tommy Milner to talk about their efforts so far. Just from a strategy standpoint, I would hope that most, if not all, just about all, of the teams readying themselves to roll back out for 2.5 hours of final qualifying completely remove the concept of qualifying from that 2.5 hours of running. This, to me, should be treated as final warm-up. Nothing new that I'm saying here. Most intelligent teams would do this. But if you are, the SMP folks, the Rebellion folks, are you realistically going to find more than 2 seconds to knock Toyota off the pole? No, you're not. Well, then be happy with where you've qualified and just truly spend this final time working on nighttime setup, trying to perfect the cars as best you can, because other than a very brief warm-up Saturday morning, they're really, you know, this is what this time should be treated for, unless there was, you know, a truly close thing where one manufacturer team in any of the classes could take pole and at least have a day or two of good publicity for it. I don't foresee Fords, Ferraris, Corvettes, BMWs knocking off the factory Porsches in GTE Pro, nor do I see anybody getting close to the ridiculous time set by the Proton team in GTE Amateur. So, again, just mindset-wise, I know that, you know, we might look to the timing and scoring in this final session, Graham, and see if there's any little adjustment, but I think for the most part everyone should be focusing on 2.5 truly invaluable hours to get their final bit of work done for the race.
I think I would tend to agree with you philosophically there. We've got, by the way, the 94 Porsche, which had a big off at the beginning of the session into the barriers at Indianapolis, being wheeled back to its garage for repair. That will not be taking part, I'm sure, in the much of the final practice session. But beyond that, it's then a matter of what have we got to look forward to for the remainder of the week before we go green on Saturday afternoon. And the two big things to look forward to are indeed going to be that announcement. And there'll be a number of announcements from the AC on Friday morning. And I think the very strong likelihood that we're going to see another, potentially this time, more significant. It's the one time I'm going to mention it. Balance performance change in GTE.
Yeah, definitely. Eyes up for that. I know I'm going to be getting up early tomorrow morning, California, to speak with IMSA President Scott Atherton on the subject of the new rules and regulations. And then you and I are obviously going to speak tomorrow, our final Day at Le Mans episode, which will probably run a little bit longer. I mean, these have been going 15 to 20 minutes or so. Might go a little bit longer there just because we will have regulations to speak about. And as you mentioned, if we don't have BOP adjustments to talk about, I will be genuinely surprised. So we will see what Friday holds. Graham Goodwin, thank you. As always, take a look at dailysportscar.com for the good work that he, Stephen Kilby, and the rest of the DSC team have been churning out from Le Mans. Also on racer.com, where some of that good work is also being featured. And we will cross fingers and toes and hope that telecommunications from the Corvette garage perk up here shortly.
Hey, Marshall.
Hey, Ollie. How are you, brother?
Yeah, not bad. How are you?
I hate that I'm speaking to you over a telephone instead of standing next to you, but we were here getting somewhat close to the end of qualifying for the 24 Hours of Le Mans, and Boy, if you are in a 911 RSR or a Ford GT or a 488, even a M8, it seems like you'd be a pretty happy camper. Any surprise within the Corvette racing team that at least in qualifying trim, balance of performance seems to be tilted far away from Michigan in the United States?
We're running through our program, and we've been here many, many times, and we understand that there's much to Le Mans 24 hours and what you need to do here to win the race, to be standing on that top step at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon. Of course, the qualifying times and practice times are important. They're a good guide, but they're certainly not the be all and end all. And at the moment, I would say that we're still working away on the car. We are still looking to unlock a little bit more lap time, but there's a few things working against us here with traffic, slow zones, the red flags that popped up when we were going for a run earlier on today. And so, yes, that's been a little frustrating, but it's part of the pattern that happens here at Le Mans. And so we've just got to keep working away at it and hoping that things are better for us in the race. And I think we'll have a good race car. I'm comfortable and sort of happy with that. So if there's changes to be made in any of that in the balance of performance, that's purely up to the officials and the ACO FIA and how they will just work away with what we've got, and we can't influence that. We've just got to get on with our program. So that's what we're doing, and we're sort of trying to keep our eyes on the main focus, which is Saturday 3 o'clock, and that green flag, and seeing where we end up through the race.
Ollie, give me your thoughts about the race itself, maybe in the context of the performance we've seen from the Corvette C7R this year, at least in America, right? You and Tommy won at Long Beach. There was a podium for Yan and Antonio at Mid-Ohio. So we know the car, in and among your rivals, can be a winner, can be a podium contender. Any thoughts if that is a reasonable expectation across the pond here in Le Mans, where, again, at least within the class, you guys are not in your usual position towards the pointy end?
Yeah, we are. We come to this race each year. It's the cornerstone of our program. It's the real focus. And the C7R has so far in qualifying gone the fastest it's ever been around here, and so I feel that we've made really good steps with our partners at Michelin and in we're 1 year wiser with the car, and so we feel that we're able to implement all of that when it comes race time. We know from so many years of experience here, whether we're thinking back to GTS, GT1, GT2, GTE, this team has been through all of those classes and raced against some amazing competition, and we've had some unbelievable races here when the odds have been completely stacked against us. So I'll just point out 2015 as an example, and we pulled through. And we got the victory that year. And so, yes, the level of performance and competition is, I think the bar has been set to a new level. And so, yes, there are many, many cars in our class, some 17, with all world-class driver lineups, with some amazing teams, and with some people with a huge amount of Le Mans experience themselves, with many victories under their belts. So, we know that this is going to be no easy task. It's going to be very difficult. It's going to be hard fought. It's going to be We're going to have to fight for a tooth and nail, but that is why we come here, and that's why we put ourselves through this. This is why we come back to Le Mans each year, because we know that it is the best, the biggest, the most fantastic sports car race in the world, and it's something that we all strive to be standing on that top step at 3 o'clock on Sunday afternoon.
Two quick questions for you to close here, Ollie. So, bit of a change in recent practice for the team at Le Mans, rather than bringing in a third driver, endurance driver, is a bit of a one-off. The decision was made early in this year that we're going to set the endurance racing lineups for both cars and use them in IMSA, at Le Mans, etc. Tell me about the consistency or the value that's brought by knowing Marcel's going to be in the car, Daytona, Sebring, here, you know, Petit. How has that helped the team at Le Mans, just from maybe a continuity standpoint?
Oh, it's been fantastic. You know, Marcel being in the car has been, you know, another fantastic decision by the team. You know, Marcel has gelled wonderfully again with everybody here. He does bring an extra level of outright with Audi, you know, reason why he's done that, how he's achieved that, and the knowledge that he's got from running with that program. He brought a lot of that to us, and he gets it. He knows what we need to do to win and be standing on that top step on Sunday afternoon. So, you know, I think it's been hugely beneficial having Marcel in the team, and, you know, he really does add to the power of our car, so that's great.
Last one for you. So I interviewed our man Dan Binks, Corvette Racing crew chief, for a feature that just came out in the brand new issue of Racer Magazine about the crew side and the physical side of endurance. How do you get through Le Mans with, you know, it's not a 24-hour race, it's about 40 from when folks wake up Saturday to when they fall out Sunday night. He said his secret to rejuvenate himself early Sunday morning is personal pampering. Going over to Corvette Hospitality, brush his teeth, wash his face, put on some new socks and undergarments and such. What's the Ollie Gavin secret to feeling fresh like a daisy when the hours are getting long and your eyes are getting a bit weary?
Well, there's many things that Corvette Racing do here. We've got a wonderful hospitality unit that we go back to, and we can get some shut-eye in between stints. We also have a very good masseuse in Gina that, you know, helps with all the aches and pains and works over parts of your body that are certainly feeling the effects of driving this C7R around the streets of Le Mans. So, that's one thing. That's another thing. And then, you know, we have our own little rooms to sleep in, and so we can take showers, we can, you know, clean ourselves up, we can, you know, get into a fresh race suit. We've got, you know, a wonderful set of group of staff there who will cook us whatever we would like and look after us exceptionally well. So we have everything laid on there for us. And you know, different drivers have different routines and different ways of going about things. I've over many years, I've figured out what works for me, and, trying to get that bit of shut-eye in between the stints, and trying to just switch off best you can from when you've been driving a car to getting out, and so that you can rest properly and fully before then getting back in again. That's vitally important. And, you know, all those things that I've listed really help. So, it's one of the strategies and things you have to figure out yourself for your Le Mans 24-hour experience. And sometimes you can't just follow a manual. You have to discover what that is and what works for you. So over the years, I've developed that.
Well, that's all professional and whatnot, Gavin, but you're lying to us here. Go ahead and admit it. You are a man powered by chocolates. Come on, you know, let's crack that open.
Well, I might have a little bit of dark chocolate every now and again.
Okay.
It's got a nice bit of magnesium in it, you see. Dark chocolate has got good magnesium in it, and so that means that helps with any leg cramps or any shoulder cramps that you might have. So that's my excuse.
Somewhere I see your physio shaking their head going, not buying it. Or at least you could request a dark chocolate milkshake in the car in your drink bottle. I mean, you know, we're getting there. Well, mate, Hopefully the race is more fulfilling than at least time trials have been. And I know there are countless folks cheering for the home team here in America, along with, you know, the other IMSA teams that have followed over. And hopefully we have some more fun stuff to talk about come Sunday. So good luck to you and the team, Ollie.
Thanks a lot. Thanks, Marshall.
Thanks, mate.